Chapter 6. About 50 yards from the laager, under one of the wild fig trees, the servants built Duff a hut. The framework was of poles, and over it they stretched a tarpaulin. They made a bed for him, and brought his mattress and blankets on the wagon. Sean joined 4 trek chains together, forging new links and hammering them closed. He passed one end of the chain round the base of the fig tree and riveted it back up on itself. Duff sat in the shade of a wagon and watched them work. His hurt hand was in a sling, and his face was swollen. The wound crusty-looking and edged in angry red. When he was finished with the chain, Sean walked across to him. "I'm sorry, Duff. We have to do it. They abolished the slave trade some time ago, just in case you didn't know." Duff tried to grin with his distorted face. He stood up and followed Sean to the hut. Sean looped the loose end of the chain round Duff's waist. He locked it with a bolt through 2 of the links, then flattened the end of the bolt with 12 strokes of the hammer. "That should hold you." "An excellent fit," Duff commended him. "Now, let us inspect my new quarters." Sean followed him into the hut. Duff lay down on the bed. He looked very tired and sick. "How long will it take before we know?" he asked quietly. Sean shook his head. "I'm not sure. I think you should stay here at least a month. After that, we'll allow you back into society." "A month. It's going to be fun. Lying here, expecting any minute to start barking like a dog, lifting my leg against the nearest tree." Sean didn't laugh. "I did a thorough job with the knife. It's 1,000 to 1 you'll be all right. This is just a precaution. The odds are attractive. I'll put a 5 on it." Duff crossed his ankles and stared up at the roof. Sean sat down on the edge of the bed. It was a long time before Duff ended the silence. "What will it be like, Sean? Have you ever seen anyone with rabies?" "No. But you've heard about it, haven't you?" "Tell me what you've heard about it," Duff persisted. "For Christ's sake, Duff, you're not going to get it." "Tell me, Sean. Tell me what you know about it." Duff sat up and caught hold of Sean's arm. Sean looked steadily at him for a moment before he answered. "You saw that jackal, didn't you?" Duff sank back onto his pillows. "Oh, my God," he whispered. Together they started the long wait. They used another tarpaulin to make an open shelter next to the hut, and under it they spent the days that followed. In the beginning it was very bad. Sean tried to pull Duff out of the black despair into which he had slumped, but Duff sat for hours at a time, gazing out into the bush, fingering the scabs on his face, and only occasionally smiling at the banquet of choice stories that Sean spread before him. But at last Sean's efforts were rewarded. Duff began to talk. He spoke of things he'd never mentioned before, and listening to him, Sean learnt more about him than he had in the previous 5 years. Sometimes Duff paced up and down in front of Sean's chair, with a chain hanging down behind him like a tail. At other times he sat quietly, his voice filled with longing for the mother he had never known. There was a portrait of her in the upper gallery. I used to spend whole afternoons in front of it. It was the kindest face I had ever seen. Then it hardened again as he remembered his father, that old bastard. He talked of his daughter. She had a fat chuckle that would break your heart. The snow on her grave made it look like a big sugar-iced cake. She would have liked that. At other times his voice was puzzled as he examined some past action of his, angry as he remembered a mistake or a missed opportunity. Then he would break off and grin self-consciously. I say, I am talking a lot of drivel. The scabs on his face began to dry up and come away, and more often now his old gaiety bubbled to the surface. On one of the poles that supported the tarpaulin roof, he started a calendar, cutting a notch for each day. It became a daily ceremony. He cut each notch with the concentration of a sculptor carving marble, and when he'd finished he would stand back and count them aloud, as if by doing so he could force them to add up to 30, the number that would allow him to shed his chain. There were 18 notches on the pole when the dog went mad. It was in the afternoon. They were playing clabby jazz. Sean had just dealt the cards when the dog started screaming from among the wagons. Sean knocked over his chair as he jumped up. He snatched his rifle from where it leant against the wall and ran down to the lager. He disappeared behind the wagon to which the dog was tied, and almost immediately Duff heard the shot. In the abrupt and complete stillness that followed, Duff slowly lowered his face into his hands. It was nearly an hour before Sean came back. He picked up his chair, set it to the table, and sat down. "Shoot a call. Are you going to take on?" he asked as he picked up his cards. They played with grim intensity, fixing their attention on the cards, but both of them knew that there was a third person at the table now. "Promise you'll never do that to me," Duff blurted out at last. Sean looked up at him. "That I'll never do what to you?" "What you did to that dog." The dog. The bloody dog. He should never have taken a chance with it. He should have destroyed it that first night. "Just because the dog got it doesn't mean that you..." "Swear to me," Duff interrupted fiercely. "Swear you won't bring the rifle to me." "Duff, you don't know what you're asking." "Once you've got it..." Sean stopped. Anything he said would make it worse. "Promise me," Duff repeated. "All right, I swear it then.